I think we're keeping most of the kids here. Is that right? Lisa, do you know? We don't know. Well, what kids remain, I want to let you know I'm going to be inviting you to come forward in just a little bit as we have the opportunity really this morning to begin our vacation Bible school lessons. There are six pieces to the armor of God that are found in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'd like to invite you now to take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, as we will be reading verses 10 through 21. As I said, there are six pieces that Paul enumerates in Ephesians 6. Almost, Louise. Almost, not quite ready. That's all right. We'll be standing in a second. But there's only 5 days in Vacation Bible School. So we are taking the opportunity this morning to look at the first, which is the belt of truth. And then throughout the remaining 5 days, the children that will be gathered here will be looking at those remaining five pieces throughout the week. But we begin the armor of God study this morning. And so, in just a few moments or so, I'll be inviting the children to come forward. But first, we begin with the reading of God's word, which is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 21. I'd like to invite you to stand now for the reading of God's word. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, and therefore to our church as well, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this powerful descriptive image that is given to your church through the Apostle Paul. And the nature and the stature in which a Christian is to stand, standing firmly and unmovable, fully clad with the whole armor of God. That is true for us as adults, and it is true for us for our children as well. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we train and educate our little ones, our children, what it means to be a Christian, and what it means to take by grace the whole armor of God and to live for you. We commit ourselves to you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, a few things that I want to share with you this morning by way of introduction for our text, and then some things that I want to share with the children by way of introduction as we move into an understanding of the armor of God, as the first lesson in our lesson of six. The first thing that I want to recognize and direct your attention to that Paul recognizes and directs our attention to as Christians is that he identifies and names, he makes clear that Christians have enemies. Christians have enemies. Now, that may not be a pleasant thing to recognize, but it is a true thing that must be recognized, that as Christians, we have enemies. And we have to be careful not to take it upon ourselves to determine who those enemies are. God does that for us. God names the devil. The devil is real. And the devil is ruthless. And as I believe, if I remember correct, my dear friend and colleague and predecessor here at Beverly Heights Church once said, and the devil will kill your child if he can. That's the reality. The devil will kill your child if he can. Christians have enemies, and we need to recognize as believers that we have real enemies, including the devil, Paul says, and including rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. The principalities and powers that I discussed last summer when we were outside worship outside in the parking lot. There is this dimension or realm known as the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. They are real spiritual forces, and they are at work against the kingdom of God and against Christians. And so Paul directs our attention to the fact, and we must accept the fact that we have real enemies, but the good news is that God has given strategies and he has given means by which we can stand. We can stand up against the real enemies of God, the real enemies of our faith. God has not left us without provision. God gives to us supplement. He gives us things that we need in order that we might be successful. God gives to us an armor. Armor that will help us and allow us to stand. What I've observed in the last number of years is that the church has receded. And perhaps you've observed that as well. We've kindly made space for other voices. We've kindly made space for other institutions. We've kindly made space for other authorities, and there are other authorities. God has instituted three authorities or three jurisdictions in the world: the church, the family, and the state. All three are created by God, and they have power and they have jurisdiction. But the church has a real authority and a real jurisdiction in the world, and oftentimes the church has receded back in order to make room for other authorities, both legitimate and illegitimate. But Paul says, no, don't do that. Stand. Stand firm. Stand in your place. Stand your ground. And in order to stand your ground, I'm going to give you armor. Now, Paul is not doing something creative here. As Paul is sharing with the church and sharing with the people of God in Ephesus and for us today, he's not looking at Roman armor, which was fairly well known in the time of Rome, in the time of Paul in the Roman Empire. There was a working understanding of the elements or the pieces that made up a Roman set of armor, a suit of armor. There was a belt, there was a breastplate, there were shoes, shield, helmet, sword. And Paul is not being creative by looking at these six elements and trying to spiritualize them or Christianize them. He's not making this up and saying, oh, the belt, let's talk about the belt of truth. And I see the breastplate, and so I want to talk about the breastplate of righteousness or the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. That's not what Paul is doing. What Paul is doing is he's going back to Old Testament scripture and an understanding of God as a warrior. God is described in the Old Testament as a warrior. And as a warrior, God has armor. The armor doesn't belong to the Roman in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul is making use of imagery that is well known among Roman citizens of their day and age. But actually what Paul is describing is armor that God has. God has a belt of truth. God has a breastplate of righteousness. God has shoes that are fitted with the gospel of peace. God has a shield of faith. God has a helmet of salvation. And God has a sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of truth, the word of God. And what Paul is saying is that God is giving his armor to believers, to Christians, so that we might stand. Paul is not saying, scrounge around the armory. Scrounge around what you have at your fingertips or at your disposal in order that you might fit yourself with defenses and offenses that you might stand. No, what Paul is saying is something far more profound, far more gracious, far more amazing. God has armor. God is a warrior. And God has armor, and he is giving that armor to us. And so when we receive the helmet and the breastplate and the belt and the shoes and the sword, we are receiving holy treasure from God. That in and of itself is amazing. To just pause for a second and to recognize that God is giving us his armor in order that we might stand. In order that we might be the church, in order that we might operate in the sphere of authority and jurisdiction that he has given to us, and not that we might slay the wicked, but in order that we might bless the world, in order that we might defend God's good creation, in order that we might defend those who are suffering, those who are experiencing injustice, God has given us his armor. Now, we want to look at that first piece of armor with a little bit of detail as we look at the belt of truth. Paul says to fasten on the belt of truth. And as we talk about the belt, I want to invite all the kids to make their way forward for just a couple minutes. If your child is a little bit shy, you are welcome to join with them. But we got lots of room here on the steps and on the ground here in front of the chancel. I want to show you guys something. A little bit of show and tell here, all right? I don't have, here, I'll move this back so you guys can all see. I don't have a belt of armor, but I do have a belt from my father. I'm not a warrior. I didn't enter into the military, and I don't have any military regalia or any military implements that my father gave me. But my dad was a contractor. He worked in construction, and he gave me a belt. I'm going to show you this belt. All right, this is Pastor Nate's belt. Let's see if we can find all the pieces here. Here we go. Here's my belt. Let me show you this belt. This is my construction belt. Look at that. That's a pretty big belt. Let me put this thing on. See if it still fits. It does still fit. All right. Long before Pastor Nate was a pastor, he had another career. Can I get this thing to work? There we go. He had another career as a contractor or a laborer. And I used to wear this belt all the time. Let me see. Put this on here. And this was not my sword, but this is my hammer. Look at that. How do I look? I look like a contractor? All right. Well, I used to do this all the time. I used to live in this belt. There's more blood, sweat, and tears in this belt than what you probably weigh. I used to work in this thing all the time. And this belt used to be my dad's belt. Yeah, there's other tools in there. You got to be careful. Let me show you this. Look at that. Look at those things. Big scissors. Your dad has those? Oh, look, here's a crowbar for taking out your teeth. No. Yeah, we'll put this over here. So I used to put different tools that I needed in my tool belt, and I would always put my hammer here, and I'd wear this every day when I went to work. And this is a good belt, heavy belt, thick belt. And it didn't just hold up my pants, it held up my tools, and it's made of leather, and it was really strong. And a few things that I want to share with you about this belt. because they're similar to what Paul has to say. The first thing that we want to remember about the belt of truth and a construction belt, where am I putting my belt? Top, bottom, or middle? In the middle. A belt is central. First thing I want you to remember is that a belt is central. I didn't wrap the belt around my feet, right? What would happen if I wrapped the belt around my feet? I'd probably fall and break my neck. That's no good. What would happen if I wrapped the belt around my head? What do you think? I can't see what I'm doing, right? The belt belongs in the center, right in the middle. And what Paul is saying is that God's belt is a belt of truth. And truth, nope, we're not going to do that. I got a hammer to help you here. Watch out. All right, let's nail that down. All right, let's not touch that. Yep, all right, good. I also can do this with it. Doink, doink. All right.
I have my own hammer.
I know you do. So the belt is central.
Actually, for my life.
Truth is central. God wants truth to be at the center of our lives and the center of the world. The bad news is that truth is not really that, is not central in our world today. Truth is really pushed aside a lot of times for lies or misunderstanding or any number of things. But God wants us to hold fast to truth, and he wants truth to be central in our lives. Second of all, the belt holds everything together, right? Over here, I got this holding my hammer. Over this, I got holding my pouch. It holds my pants up. It holds me together as a construction worker, as a laborer. Belts are made to hold things together. And God has given us his belt of truth to hold our lives together. God wants us to have that belt in order that our life might be held together. You guys are young. Everything feels like it holds together naturally. But then you hit middle age like me, and you start to realize things start to fall apart. Yeah, and you need belts to hold things together. And God has given us his belt of truth to hold the world together. Yeah, duct tape works good too. You're right. Third, so let's recap. The belt is central. The belt holds things together, number two. And thirdly and lastly, what I want you to remember about the belt and the belt of truth is that it has to be fastened. That's why there's this buckle, right? You put the belt on and it has to be fastened. And if you don't take care to make sure it's well fastened, it'll fall. It'll fall off. And so throughout this week, what you are going to be learning is God's truth, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your leaders are going to help fasten the belt onto you guys so that you can go off into life with truth around your waist. They're going to help fasten shoes on your feet. They're going to help fasten the breastplate around your chest. They're going to help fasten a helmet on your head. And they're going to help fasten the sword at your side so that you can be ready to stand. You guys are the church. Each one of you. You're the church. You are the future of the church. And God has given you tremendous gifts. Every one of these is a gift of God that he has given to you in order that you might be the church, in order that you might stand, in order that you might bring glory to God. Does that make sense, guys? You think? You want to learn more about the armor of God in the days to come? You looking forward to it?
Are we going to have a
wedding? Are we going to have a what? You're gonna have real armor and real life. God's gonna give it to you, and when you get older, you're gonna understand it. Just like how there's a door to Narnia in my office. Yep. When you get older, you'll understand it. Okay, you guys are dismissed back to your parents. Go ahead, Eli. I love you. I really do. Give me a hug. You and I got the same shoes today. All right, go ahead. You want to stand in front of the pulpit? Come on. Come on up here, buddy. Why fight it, right? It's just you and me. So this is what God has called us and commissioned us to do, to share the tremendous gifts that God has given to us as Christians and to our children, that they might be firmly established and fastened with the gifts of God in order that they might stand as Christians today and into the future. Should we close in prayer, Eli? What do you think? All right, let's bow our heads and let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you that you have given us tremendous gifts, gifts of the armor of God, gifts that include the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, gifts that include the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and they are yours. And you give them to us by grace. Help us, Lord, to see them fastened upon our children and upon each one of us as believers in order that we might stand, in order that we might protect, and in order that we might advance into the places that you've called us to. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, Eli? Say it.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Very good.